Title of my message this evening is God's Gracious Peace. You know, if you're saved this evening, you have a peace that passes all understanding. You don't understand it, but you know you have it. Yeah. Now, when we go to foreign countries, when we preach to foreigners, we should desire that they have the same wonderful peace that we have. Isn't it joyful that you and I can gather together in a place like this and rejoice around the things of God and have peace? Let's read this text here. Luke 1, 76 to 79. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness." Listen to what it says. "To give light to them that sit in darkness." That's our responsibility. The commission tells us to go. You know that. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Isaiah said this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in chapter 48, verses 17 and 18. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." 18 says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments." See, some people don't teach the commandments anymore. You know? "Oh, that thou had hearkened to my commandments." Why? "Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." In other words, it just keeps coming. Just keeps coming. "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." He said, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Oh, how sad it is when some people will criticize those who teach against the teaching of God's Word. Teach against the things which we find so very important in God's Word that He's written there, that He's placed there. For we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto, or throughly furnished unto all good works. We have a responsibility, and it's in our hands, in our hearts, in our mouths to pass out. Now, the world's definition of peace is this, from Webster's Dictionary, and part of it is real good, part of it I'm not too sure about, but listen to what Webster said. "Peace is a state of tranquility or quiet." Well, it's not qualified, is it? In other words, you can say that a drunk that is in a drunken stupor is at peace. With that terminology, or with that definition, you can. He's at peace. A person who is under the influence of drugs, you could say, well, he is at peace in his high that he's on right now. Nothing's happening to him. But that's not true. That's not peace. A state of tranquility or quiet. A freedom from civil disturbance. It is a state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom. The second meaning there says, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Third one says, harmony from personal relations. But what is true God-given peace? Now, Brother Vine gives the right one. The right definition. He said this. He says that it is the harmonious relationship between God and man. Amen. When you are at peace in your soul with God, there cannot be anything better. Knowing Him. And so God is the only one who can truly give lasting peace to the soul of man and woman today. The person who is troubled in his spirit because of the way of this world and by the need of living in this age has really only one place to seek refuge and find real and lasting peace. That is in the person and life, death, and burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
There's no one else can give you peace.
Amen.
As He gives peace. God is the only one who can relieve us from the fear of eternal damnation in the future, as well as the daily disturbances of life, which throw us off balance, and our minds get all messed up, and we have no peace. Why? This is why millions of people today have no direction in their lives, and they're trying to find some semblance or some kind of peace down here in this world. Well, they go to all extremes to find that peace. Some go to the extent of cutting on their bodies to find peace. I've read articles regarding that. Some of starving themselves. Some turn to piercings and tattoos, thinking that that will bring about satisfaction. But listen, it's very painful and it's very vain and it's very permanent. And later on, they are so sad that they had gone to that excess of marking up their bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, if they're saved. Then others turn to drugs and abuse meds and live this way for years and years. Some go to alcohol, straight or mixed, and others turn to Eastern religion or Asian practices and yoga with its meditations. But they find out that there is no peace there because their leaders are just like them. And they have absolutely no hope as well. They're without peace before God. And so it's wonderful when we see people who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and they have found the eternal peace in the eternal Father and God and Creator of heaven and earth. They know without a shadow of a doubt that one day they're going to be in His very presence forever and ever. And from God's holy word, they can be assured of what their final resting place will be. Where they'll end up to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And how wonderful that is to know.
Amen.
You know, as I was able to get home to Seattle before, I call it home now because that's where we live, but before Dad passed away, I looked into his face and he was on a morphine drip because he had fallen and broken his pelvis, and his pelvis was so jagged from an X-ray that there was no way he could ever heal up at 90 years old. And so the doctor says, "Well, what I'll do so he can know you're here at the appointed time when I'm supposed to give him another injection load of this stuff, I'll hold back and he'll come out of that morphine for just a few times. We won't let him get so he starts hurting, but you'll be able to try and talk to him." And I said, "Father, Dad, this is Ted. You know, your son that was in Honduras," because they always said that. Always said, "This is my son that's in Honduras, was in Honduras." And actually, I don't know for sure, but I have confidence that in that moment, that small smile came on his face and a little shake and a squeeze of the hand. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, he knew I was here. I slept on the floor next to his bed as his laboring was going on all night long, I got up in the morning, talked to my daughter. I says, Lisa, let's go for a walk. And so we went for a walk early in the morning, stopped and got a little bit of breakfast. And when I walked in the door, my family says, he passed away 4 minutes ago. Just missed it. But you know what? I was happy. I was joyful that he was absent from that body and present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was at peace. And each one of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ can be assured that you too will be at peace at that time.
Amen.
All because we know the one who gives that peace. He's been merciful to us all during our lives, and the fact that he revealed to us our lost state, our lost condition, and he brought us to repentance and faith, believing and trusting in him. He wouldn't have done that unless he loved us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Look with me in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 quickly. Romans 14 and verse 17 says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. But what is it? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, I love that. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We can all be thankful that God had worked a work of saving faith in us, and that we've been rescued from our sinful condition, and now we're not included in that pack of multitudes who are still the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath had afore prepared unto glory. Daddy was 27 when the Lord saved him. What he did for a living back then in those days, he was a vegetable man. He had a little truck. The back of that truck was a flatbed, and he go down to the warehouse and he'd buy wholesale groceries or veggies and set them up on that, and he drove through, look at here, South Park with his vegetable route. That was in the 40s. And he sold vegetables to people. And there was a man who would park next to him, who was the milkman, a man by the name of Irish, last name Irish. And he said, Glenn, you need to go to church with me. He says, no, I'm a Lutheran. I'm fine. I've been confirmed. I was an altar boy. I've done all those things. I'm doing just fine. Glenn, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, he says, okay, I'll go to church with you. He went home, he told my mother, he says, Inez, we're going to church, to a Baptist church. Wouldn't you like that? She said, you're crazy, Tweet. What's wrong with you? Dad loved to smoke, he loved to drink, he loved to dance. I mean, that was his life. Three weekends later, the Lord reached down and saved him at age 27. He and my mom the same day.
Amen.
All the family mocked him, made fun of him. Said, oh, he'll be back. He loved it so much, he'll be right back. But never went back. Daddy would say from the pulpit, my cigarettes went that way, my booze went that way, and I quit dancing.
Amen.
And I lived for the Lord. And he did. 90 years old and counting. He was still serving the Lord. He had peace. He had peace. And that's what we desire of anyone that we can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. That they could have the same peace that you and I have.
Amen.
What does it mean for men and women to have this peace? I believe it's an inner quietness about our relationship with God and our fellow man. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded, that means that you think, all you think about is the things of the world. For to be carnally minded is death. It's not going to help you to think on those things. This world is not our friend. It's not our friend. We're no more part with it any longer. We've been bought with a price. We're Christ. He bought us with a price. And so, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded. What is to be spiritually minded? It is life and peace. I've got a couple of lost brothers. And you know what they say about me? Ah, Ted, you just have never lived. That's what they say. I said, what do you mean by that? You think I have to go out into a stinking bar and drink beer and experience that to be able to know what it's like? I can look at what goes on, and that's enough for me. I don't have to taste it. I don't have to experience that. I can see what drugs do to people. You don't have to experience those things. You can count God's blessings upon you if you've never had to go through that junk.
Amen.
And so many people have. And have the peace that passes all understanding. If we keep and love this carnal, sinful, wicked, deceiving, devil-loving world as our friend and guide, Paul says that it's an ugly death. It's an ugly death. It will not bless you. It will not give you any peace of any kind. Paul said that. It's horrible. The rewards of living in and loving the world are present. But they are short-lived and pay off in pain, pay off in distress of body and soul, and conscience is troubled and plagued, and many times they'll not let you sleep. God wants us to live in peace. There are millions of people who feel that the way that they are living in this world is all they ever want to know and have. And you know, if they die in that condition, they'll go to hell. And what they had here is nothing compared to what they're going to face there.
That's right.
I have a question. Can we as Christians then be too spiritual? Can we be too spiritual? Can you be too spiritual? I mean, the world thinks sometimes we're too spiritual. You just got too much. You need to back off of it. You're going to go crazy if you keep on. Listen, was Jesus? Was the Apostle Paul? Were the disciples? Are you? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Get that in your mind. If you're lost this evening, think about what I'm saying. This world is nothing. You can gather all the things in this world, all the things this world has to afford. And what is it going to give you? Headaches. I mean, I can remember some of the preachers saying that they wanted a boat. I've always loved fish, you know, and I love boats. I don't like water very much, but I like boats. And so I end up with a boat, and it sits in the backyard. So it's better that I don't get a boat. And I heard the saying one time, they say the two happiest days of a boat owner's life is the day he bought it, they sold it. And so, you know, so if you're not planning to use it, don't get it. But listen, things do not satisfy. They fill a void for a little bit of time, and the newness wears off. Get a new car, and look at the first couple of scratches. And it wears off. Buy a new house. Same thing. But listen, when you live for Jesus, when you live for the Lord, that is forever.
Amen.
All the things we do for the Lord is banked up there. He's got a big safe up there. And everything is guaranteed to pay back. Don't be like the little lady in Ashland, Kentucky, who would come up every year, Thanksgiving time, and give Pastor Walker a $10,000 check for the college. And he'd call her up, shake her hand, take the check, and all the people would applaud her. What would she get? She'd get her praise down here. That's what the Bible says. Not the reward that could have been for eternity up there. What a shame. What a shame. No, you can't be too spiritual. You cannot. The fact of the matter is, who would you rather be at peace with? Would you rather be at peace with somebody you work with? Somebody you've met? Lost friends in the world, or the eternal God, the Creator of heaven and earth? I'd rather be at peace with Him.
Amen.
Because one day I'm going to stand before Him, and He's going to look at me, and the books of remembrance will be opened, and I'm going to be crushed, but I'm going to be happy too, because I hope He'll say, "Well done, my servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation." What kind are you today? Do you love the world more than the Lord's church and its functions? Do you have peace with the Lord this evening? Peace with the Lord is so much better and lasting than peace with the world and its false peace. We have been rescued from this world, saved from its grasp, and love every minute, every moment of its peace and tranquility. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." You should love those things which have no law against them.
Amen.
Think about it now.
Amen.
Think about it. Notice that it is the Lord that will bless His people with peace. Some people are always discontent with life, murmuring and disputing. Listen, are not fruits of the Spirit. Even some of us get caught up in this bad habit of complaining. Even yours truly at times. But we need to put a control switch and stop our bad behavior. My poor wife, she's wearing out her telephone because she has to answer it because I'm constantly calling her. I'm not going to go there. But do you know that we are teachers? You and I, you Christians, we are teachers. And our attitudes and our manner of behavior is being recorded continually. Even the thoughts of our minds, the deeds of our hands. You know, the world may see them, but so does God. Psalms 35:15. "The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." Listen to what it says. You know, you might think you're hiding from God and doing your little things. But listen, God sees all.
Amen.
God sees all. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. I'm going to continue with a few more. Proverbs 15:3 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Why am I bringing these verses right now about peace? So you can understand, if you do not have peace, you are doing these things which are contrary to God. But if you are following the Scriptures, you following what God wants you to do, you will be obedient and not fearful of chastisement if you're being obedient. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Now, I know our time's gone. But brethren, think about this. We need to acquaint ourselves with God. The Bible tells us to acquaint ourselves with Him and be at peace. It continues, "Therefore good shall come unto thee. For then thou shalt have delight in the Almighty and shall lift up thy face unto God." You know, in the Asian culture, I used to deliver meat to Chinese restaurants. That was part of my job in Seattle, Washington. Huge Chinese town. I mean, huge. I mean, it covered probably 2 miles square. And Chinatown. And I met a lot of Chinese people. And one that I met in particular was Raymond Kung. And he was a young man. When I'd come in with my deliveries, he would sign the paperwork. And I can't remember that when I collected the money or just they signed for it. But he couldn't speak much English, but I started to communicate with him. I gave him a tract. I started witnessing to him. And he said to me, he said in his broken English, he says, "Ted," he says, "you are the first North American who has ever spoken to me." Now think about it. And I'm going to tell you something. There are many Hispanic people in Clarksville. I've noticed it my time over there. And I'm going to challenge you. How many of you have ever handed a Spanish tract to a Hispanic person in the mall or at a restaurant? How many of you ever say hello to them? They're not going to be looking in your eyes. They're going to be going like this. But you could just say, "May the Lord bless you. Here's a tract." They'll receive it. You might say, "I've never done it." Brother Ellis just printed me 4,000 tracts. They're fresh up there. You can get some from him if you want some. Wonderful tracts. I challenge you, do it. Raymond Kung came to our church. He worked like 14 hours straight. We'll go to bed for a few hours and I'd go pick him up Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and take him to church. He'd come to our house, I'd take him home, and then he'd go right straight to work. Listened for months and months and months. Lord never saved him, as far as I know. Lost contact with him. But one thing I know, that in his mind, there was a North American who talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great responsibility. Do we want them to have the same peace we have? I challenge you. Do you want them to know the Savior? As someone, every one of you, someone came to you and told you about Jesus. Didn't he? Did they?
Right.
Someone did. And what I mentioned the other day, got a little bit of criticism from my wife about it, but think about it. I sometimes pray, Lord, you know when Peter was fishing, he pulled that boat up close to the shore, and they're fixing or cleaning their nets. What was it? Cleaning them? I can't remember which it was right at the moment. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. But Lord, we have toiled all night long. Can you imagine pulling those nets? I mean, 50, 60 foot of net. I mean, you're tired. And how many times they do it during the night? Lord, we have toiled all night. But at thy word, we'll launch out. Now throw the net on the other side. And there was a bonanza. The Spanish word is bonanza. You know what that word? Bonanza? You got, okay. A whole lot of fish came into it. We need to be praying. Lord, send me to the other side of that boat where those fish are. Although we need to talk to them all. Launch out. He's told us to go. Preach the gospel to every creature.